السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين. صدق الله العظيم. Allahumma ikram, most respected brothers, our sisters listening at the madrasa and those over receivers. This is an ayat of the Quran Sharif which I have discussed on many different occasions. But this is the ayat that came to mind now. So therefore we'll discuss it again. That is what the Quran Sharif is for, to repeatedly recite and to repeatedly discuss the message. Now a few ayat before this, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala discusses one qawl, or the saying, or as we term the malfuzat. So this is where the malfuzat of the kuffar, the saying of the kuffar, what they were saying. They were saying, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَالْغَوْ فِيهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَغْلِبُونَ. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. The kuffar is to say, don't listen to the Quran Sharif. When the Quran Sharif is recited, don't listen to it. In the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who was reciting the Quran Sharif? Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran Sharif was revealed upon him, he was reciting it. The Sahaba-e-Kiram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in were listening and then they were reciting. So the best of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam, the greatest after Allah, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was reciting the Quran Sharif. Not ordinary people like us, far, far away from the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Our recitation, where can we compare with the recitation of the Sahaba-e-Kiram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in? And where can the recitation of the Sahaba-e-Kiram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in compare with the recitation of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala? And where can the recitation of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala and all the ummah put together compare with the recitation of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So we can imagine the rejection of this, that don't listen to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam recitation by the kuffar. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions it, that they used to say that when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam recites the Quran Sharif, or whenever the Quran Sharif is recited, now we can extend the meaning to all times, that when it is recited, then at that time make a big noise. When the Quran Sharif is recited, make a big noise, make a big din. For what reason, for what purpose? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَغْلِبُونَ. So that you may become dominant over them. That means if you want dominance, if you want to suppress the voices of the people reciting the Quran Sharif, so then you must make a big noise. You must make a big din. Then their voices will be suppressed and your voice will be above all voices. So people will then listen to you. And whatever is your belief and whatever is your way of life, they will follow. And they will accept your message after that. So that was what they used to do, because at that time they did not have radio stations, they did not have the media like we have today, they did not have the newspapers, and they did not have the magazines, and they did not have all the kinds of broadcasts that we have over CNN and BBC and everything else. So at that time they said that you must make a big noise. Just compare it, what I am saying, with our time. That what they did is exactly the same thing that is being done now. That they were also told to do the same thing, make a big noise, make a big din. One lie must be told so many times that even the person who has got intelligence will accept the lie as a truth. That is their way of propaganda. That they were told, make a big noise, you say what you think is right. Reject Islam, reject oneness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, reject Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the last and the final messenger, reject everything. But the only way to do that is that don't allow the people to listen to the Quran Sharif. Because if they're going to listen to the Quran Sharif, then after that they will be influenced. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, when he used to read the Quran Sharif, then even the kuffar used to stop. Their wives and the women folk and the children, they used to stop. They used to start coming into the fold of Islam. So they had to go and plead that please don't read your Quran Sharif loudly because this is the effect it is having. One ayat of the Quran Sharif, whole nation, tribes changed. Whole tribes came into the fold of Islam with just one ayat of the Quran Sharif. Now we recite the same Quran Sharif over and over but no impact on our hearts. That ayat at the end of the second khutbah which we listen to every Friday. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Now that ayat, whole tribe came into Islam. I'm not going into that direction, otherwise we'll miss this point, what I'm trying to bring to your attention, which just came to my mind just whilst he was reciting the Yasin Sharif and just after that. So therefore, this noise making is something that's coming from that time. Even today you will find that if one person has to write something against the gays or against homosexuality or against the indecency, the obscenity, the shamelessness, the behayai and the filth that is abounding and in which everybody seems to be now covered. If one person has to write a letter to the editor and say that these things which are being shown on the television and these things which are being published in the newspapers and these type of pictures which are appearing, they're all very filthy and very obscene and it is not something that is healthy for our children and we should have some kind of a ban on it or should we have some kind of censorship, then just see after that what happens. One person will write one letter like that and there will be so many letters that will come after that. These Mother Grundys and these people, they got no other work and they're whining all the time. And they do not know what is the freedom of speech and they don't know what's the freedom of the human being and they do not know what is human rights and every person should be entitled to see what he wants and listen to what he wants and do what he wants. That is human right and no religion has the right to dominate or to impose its values upon anybody else. Now they will go on and on and on. And there will be so much of it that even those people who were thinking of writing, they will be silenced completely. On the radio station, the same thing, somebody must just say the truth in a nice way, that this is the Quran, this is the Sunnah, this is the way of life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and what we are doing is not right, or this certain program or certain thing was not something that is acceptable according to Sharia, then see what happens after that. Or it was not acceptable according to Deen and Quran and Sunnah, then see immediately after that how many phone calls will come in. I'm not talking only about the mainstream stations, even the stations which are we call Islamic stations, so many times. I don't have the time to listen to it and sometimes it makes your pressure rise. So that's why it's better to be selective. We don't say it's haram and forbidden. Be selective what you listen to. But let somebody say exactly what is haq and what is the truth and what is Quran and Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and say that this is Sharia, this is Deen. If you are talking about Deen, then this is Deen. And we are not talking about Deen of our pockets. Because sometimes what we think is Deen, we want to present it as Deen. And then it may not be correct. So therefore I am talking about only that which is authentically proven to be from the Quran and Sunnah, on which there can be no difference of opinion. We're not talking about those issues on which there can be difference of opinion. I'm talking about those issues on which there's no difference of opinion. Everyone knows that the Quran Sharif and the Sharia And the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam declares such kind of things as haram, as forbidden, as sinful. But just see the number of people that will make a big noise and a big din, and loud noises will come through which will suppress the voice of truth and haq. That is what happens. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala first talks about that voice and those noises which is intended to suppress the message of the Quran. And in these days it is so simple, just attach one label and title Islam, then everything becomes Islamic. One title Islam. One person from another country. So now his wife is complaining that he drinks beer, he drinks wine, he drinks everything. But somehow there's a label on it that this is halal beer, this is halal wine. Halal, because they took off the alcohol content from there. So like that, very soon urine too, if they take out certain germs from there, then they can label it. So whether it is dances, whether it's music, whether it is cultural shows, whether it's intermingling of all sorts, and whether it is art and craft and whatever it is, different kinds of things, just put one label there, Islamic cultural show. Islamic this, Islamic that, Islamic that. Untre, untre, kunsikal, sidi, o camel, which part of your body is straight? If you wanted to do something wrong, do it, but don't do it in the name of Islam. If a person wants to do something wrong, then do it. If he's got no fear and khawf of akhirat and azab of Allah Ta'ala, and he feels that he can challenge Allah Ta'ala's might and qudrat and power, then he must go ahead. But then at least don't do it in the name of Islam. Why put an Islamic tag on that? Somebody once in India in those days said the whole reason why the economy of the Muslims is not progressing, why the Muslims are suffering and they can't seem to be making progress in the economy, is because the ulama have made interest taking in giving haram. The ulama have made interest taking in giving haram. So if only they can have a convention, a conference, a meeting, and they can do away with this, and give a fatwa that it is halal, then automatically progress will take place. Now is it dependent on the fatwa of some muftis to make interest halal? And which mufti sahab is going to ever do the thing like that? But now this was the demand at that time. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala first says, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَالْغَوْا فِيهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَغْلِبُونَ. Make a big noise so that you become dominant. That is what they used to say. That was their word. That was their speech. In fact, the speech of the kuffar, that was it. After that, there are other ayat discussing other issues. And then after that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala now talks of the speech of the believers, or the best of all speeches. That means there will be lots of speeches, lots of talk, a lot of talk shows we have. There is going to be a lot of talk, a lot of qal. There will be just qal, qal and qal, meaning speeches, words. He said, she said, you said, I said, we all said. How in class one we used to do some kind of English. So that's all they will do. Everybody said something. Everybody must say something. There's no time now for silence. Everybody has to say something. Hazrat Maulana Tanvir Rahmatullah Alayhi Mujaddid Millat. One person came to him, an alim of great repute, of great knowledge. When he came there, then he told him, he said, you have permission to sit in my majlis and listen. No permission to talk. Now to make an alim who is of a high caliber, who's got so much of knowledge and has got so much of academic knowledge, now to tell him that you can sit, but you mustn't talk. You've got no permission to say anything, to make any input, as they say, or to give your opinion, or to take part in the discussion that would take place whilst you are sitting and listening. So he sat for a little while. But as the other ulama started discussing some issue with Hazrat, so he said something. After a little while again he said something. He said, get up and get out from here. Did I not tell you that not to speak? So he said, I forgot. He said, speak the truth, that did you forget? So then he said, no, definitely I didn't forget. He said, now say, why did you speak? So he said, I spoke. The truth is this, why did I speak? He says, I spoke because when everybody else was saying something, then it came into my heart and my mind that if you are not going to say anything, then these people will think that you are foolish, or you don't have the knowledge, or you are ignorant of what discussion is taking place, to make some kind of input into it. So this thought came into my mind that you must say something, otherwise these people will think that you don't know very much. He said, that is exactly what I wanted to tell you. That your whole purpose behind saying something was not ikhlas, there was no pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, there was no reason of contributing to the discussion that was taking place. It was only so that you may also be recognized that I am a great alim. Now look at how they put the finger on the pulse of the people, and how they made tarbiyah. Now which other person would have been able to do that? So this alim would have remained all his life with that weakness in him. And he said that this way that Hazrat reprimanded me, that whole thought that I am somebody left me, finished. Islah was made in that one majlis. So what I am saying is that everybody wants to say something. Everybody wants to make some kind of contribution. So different speeches there will be. Everywhere there's nothing but speeches. In parliament what there is? Speeches. In cabinets there's speeches. All this campaigning that will take place just now for the elections, and which has already commenced, and all the campaign that took place in America and everywhere, what is it? Just speeches, speeches and speeches. The votes are on the basis of speeches. So there are lots of speeches. Words, 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 there will be lots of words. Therefore, Hazrat Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah Alayhi said, Hazrat Khaja Sahab ke اشعار میں حال ہی حال ہے قول کا نام نہیں. حضرت خواجہ صاحب رحمت اللہ علیہ so much of poetry, he says, but there's only حال, the genuine حال, a condition of the heart, where the heart is connected with Allah تبارک و تعالی, where the heart has got kayfiyat, where the heart has got نور of taqwa in it. So those ashar and that poetry and those words which come out from those hearts, I've explained many times that those words are not just ordinary words. As the Hazrat says, that those words, because of the heart being filled with noor, so when those words come out of their mouths, of the pious and the righteous and the Ahlullah, then those words come out also in capsules of noor, and they go through our ears into our hearts. So he says, Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, that is the condition of his ashar, that there's only hal. And where can you get hal from? You can only get hal from the Zulhal. The people who've got hal, you can only get from them the hal. We're not talking about the other hal that people get. The other hal which they get in qawwalis and all that, we're not talking about that hal. We're talking about this hal here, the condition of the heart. Otherwise that hal, they say, hal tera jaal hai, maqsood tera maal hai, laakho ko andha kar diya. But if somebody really genuinely gets a hal in listening to some Naat Sharif or listening to some words of kalam of Allah Ta'ala, then that person is an exception. We're not talking about those people. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala then says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِّمَّنْ دَعَا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Now those were the words of the kuffar, that when Quran Sharif is recited, then make a big noise. Drown it in all your voices and noises. And that is exactly what the media is doing today, that there is anything about Islam, then so much must be said that the voices of Haq and Truth are drunk. Lots of people commit a lot of crimes, but they don't mention the religion and faith of those people. But if a Muslim has to do something anywhere, Islamist, Muslim, fundamentalist, this, that, so many titles they will give and go on and on and on until the whole world really thinks that these Muslims must be really terrible people. Their Quran Sharif is not worth even listening to, na'uzubillah. That's how they make. In any case, that is one side of the picture where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala discusses the words or the speeches of the kuffar, the enemies of Islam. Now Allah Ta'ala says that if that is the speech of the kuffar, the mushrikeen, the Yahud, the Nasara, the enemies of Islam, so then what should be the speech of a mu'min, of a Muslim? What kind of speech he should be giving? Whose speech is the best of all speeches? There are different kinds of speeches. Many are mubah, it's permissible. Person is talking general issues, it's permissible, there's nothing wrong with it. Person is discussing the politics of the time, is discussing the weather condition, is discussing some planned trip to somewhere. It's permissible. But which is the best speech? One is permissible, but which is the best? In food also, we will say that there are different kinds of food which are permissible. But now the person doesn't just eat because it is permissible. He is selective. He wants to eat what is tasty, what is nice, what he likes. Otherwise in the marketplace, there's so many things there. Every person has his favorite. When it comes to all food items, it doesn't mean that you like everything. Some people will like one kind of item, somebody will like something else, but it's permissible. If it is halal, then it's permissible. The same goes with cars, with clothes, with homes, with furniture, with everything that different tastes people have. So in speeches also, there are certain speeches which are permissible. A person speaks, it's permissible. There are many things which are permissible. But which is the best of speech, which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala calls the best? وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Whose word can be better than the word of he who calls towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala says the person who calls towards Allah Ta'ala, his speech is the best speech. His words are the best words. Provided, of course, the person is calling in the proper manner. Haq must be said in a haq manner with haq niyat also. The person's niyat must be right, and what he's saying also must be Quran and Sunnah, not from his pocket and not family traditions and customs. The person must say that which is authentically proven. So you must first have the knowledge to understand whether it is Quran and Sunnah or it is just fabrication. When you are satisfied that it is Quran and Sunnah, then to present it also in a haq manner, in the best way possible, and with the correct niyat, then Mawla Zafar Ahmad Usmani Rahmatullah, he says there will be no fitna on that. If the person presents it also in the right way. In a dream, if a person sees his teeth fell off, then it means that somebody in the family will die. And if all fell off, that means everybody will go before you. People have already concluded that incident. So the person went to the king had a dream that all his teeth fell off. So he called one person to give interpretation. He said he was famous for interpretation. So he gave the interpretation. And all members of your family are going to die. So he said, if they all going to die, why should you live? First you go. So he took his neck off too. He said, if they all going to die, he gave an interpretation, they all going to die. So he said, why should then you live? You rather go first. He said, because he gave a dream, he gave interpretation in such a way that it was not pleasing to the king. So then he called another person. Now the second person already knew what happened to the first one. But now he can't give a wrong interpretation. He has to give the right interpretation. So he asked him, he said, what is the interpretation of this dream? I dreamt all my teeth fell off. So he said, Basha Salamat, O king, what a beautiful dream, what a wonderful dream. You will live longer than all the members of your family. Allah Ta'ala will give you a very, very long lifespan. All the members of your family in the house, you're going to live longer than all of them. So he gave him inam and giving a gift. Yet he didn't say anything different. If a child is asked that who is this person, pointing towards the father, if a child is asked that who is this person, somebody asks the child that who is this person with you. So if the child says he's my dear father, he's my Abba, he's my daddy, say Alhamdulillah, very nice. That person, the father also may give some gift to the child, that he with loving words he said, my dear father or my Abba or my daddy. But if that child has to say, my mother's husband, then see what he gets. If the child has to say, this person is my mother's husband, what he said is correct, but how he said it, is it correct? So like that, in everything, there's a way to say a thing also. Allah Ta'ala gave us aqal and intelligence, we must use it and say it properly also. If it is haq also, say it in a manner that is palatable and acceptable. They say if you want to tell a person to go to hell, say it in such a way that he becomes desirous of going to hell. The British used to say it. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Whose word can be better than the word of the person who calls towards Allah Ta'ala? Now this is the lesson in there. Why our speeches are not having effect is we are not calling towards Allah Ta'ala. We are calling towards ourselves. 90% of the time, those who are calling, they are calling towards themselves. Meaning that they must become recognized. If I am giving a speech, then I must become recognized that I am an orator, I am a great speaker. I give flowery speeches. So the recognition is not of Allah Ta'ala. The niyat and maqsad of the person is not that all the people that are listening must somehow recognize Allah Ta'ala. They must become connected with Allah Ta'ala. The call is not towards Allah Ta'ala, the call is towards oneself. So the first condition is that the person's speech must be speech which calls towards Allah Ta'ala, then it is the best of all speeches. Calling towards Allah Ta'ala means the recognition of Allah Ta'ala, the belief in the oneness and the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, belief in all the sifat and attributes and qualities of Allah Ta'ala, belief that He is the creator of the heavens and the earth and our lives lie in His control. That on the day of Qiyamah we are answerable, accountable. Everything with regards to Quran and Sunnah. So we call towards Allah Ta'ala. Call towards the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Towards Islam, towards Sharia. Towards belief in the finality of the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is Khatamun Nabiyyin. He is Rahmatul Lil Alameen. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, his sifat, his attributes, his message. Calling towards all that is calling towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Calling towards the masail of deen and sharia. That the person is calling towards namaz, ruzah, zakat, hajj and all. Buying, selling, nikah, talaq, what the masail are. Now if he's teaching that, that's calling towards Allah Ta'ala. The person is teaching that. He's teaching the masail of buying and selling. He's teaching the masail of nikah and talaq. But that is actually calling towards Allah Ta'ala because you're calling towards His deen. That this is how a Muslim should conduct his nikah, this is how the person should transact his business, this is how the person should behave in his home, and this is how he should have good relationship with his family members, friends and everything else. Now all that is calling towards Allah Ta'ala. As long as his niyat is also that he wants to call towards the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Now we can discuss this at length, but let's go to the next point. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. Now that is the condition. The person who is calling, he must be practical. He must be making amal on that which he is calling. If he is not going to make amal on that which he is calling, then it's not going to have any effect. The father who is calling towards namaz, telling his son, go for namaz, then first he must be a namazi himself. The father who says, your son, you must stay away from all obscene and and shameless things and places, and you must stay away from the rave clubs and discos and cinemas and dance halls and all other haram establishments and from drugs. So then the father himself must be staying away from it first, then it's going to have an effect and impact. Otherwise the son will say, first you do it, then I will follow. So وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, he does righteous deeds. Now that righteous deed is the same thing that he is calling towards. He is calling towards Allah Ta'ala. So now whatever he is going to do, he is going to do according to Allah Ta'ala's hukam. And that is what righteous deeds are. Righteous deeds are not just namaz, not only tasbih. Righteous deeds, whatever the person is doing, if he is going to do it according to the Quran and Sunnah, then it is righteous deed. The person, namaz will be ibadat, his zikr will be ibadat, he's going and caring for the poor, the needy, the destitute, the orphans, all that will be ibadat. Taking care of those who are sick and weak and making iyadat, visiting the sick, going and making taziyat, if somebody passed away, to go and give consolation. Now all that will become ibadat. Ibadat is not only restricted to tilawat of the Quran Sharif and zikrullah. So وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, that means those things that he was inviting towards, we were calling towards the deen of Allah Ta'ala. دَعَا إِلَى اللَّهِ. So now when we call towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then we must be making amal upon it, practicing upon it. The reason why our children do not want to listen to us, the reason why our family members are not interested in listening to us, is that they do not see a display and a projection of that which we are inviting towards. They find a contradiction. They say that what you call towards, we don't find it in your life. We will find only the weaknesses that are in that person and we will point it out to you. Although it is not right of that person to say that you put yourself right first, then speak to me. It's not right. It is not right of us to tell somebody that first you put yourself right, then you tell me. We must not say that. We must straight away accept if the person has said something, then we must accept. We must look into it. If the person is saying the truth and the criticism is something that is relevant, the person is involved and engaged in those kinds of sins or vices. So then he must look into the criticism and say, Jazakallah for informing me. Make dua, Allah Ta'ala give me hidayah to get out of all these evils that I have in my life. And if the criticism is just for the sake of criticism, there's nothing else in it, it's just out of jealousy or malice or pride and arrogance or something else, then another ayat of the Quran Sharif comes after that, immediately after that. Idfa billati hiya ahsan. But we're not going into that now. That word of resist with that which is better, which is the best. So if the person is criticizing, then look into it. So we must not say, it is not right of us to say that first put yourself right. Therefore they say in the Quran Sharif, the ayat where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu lima taquluna ma la taf'alun kabura maqatan 'inda Allahi an taqulu ma la taf'alun. The gist of which is, or the last part of it where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, the meaning of which is this, that if you are not making amal on what you are saying, then it is not right. But that does not mean, when Allah Ta'ala says, لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ, why do you say that on which we are not practicing? So the ulama have said that it does not mean that it is not permissible for a person not practicing to make amar bil ma'ruf nahi anil munkar, to call towards good and prohibit from evil. It doesn't mean that if you are not practicing, then it's not permissible for you to tell another person that this is right, this is wrong. There are two duties on a person. One is to invite towards Allah Ta'ala's deen with haq, to call towards Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to call towards the ahkam of Allah, the laws of Allah, the commands of Allah Ta'ala, and the second duty is to make amal on it. So now if the person is not making amal, then it means that he has shown negligence in what department. So just because he has shown negligence in one department, it does not mean that now he must not even fulfill the command of Allah Ta'ala with regards to saying that which is haq and truth. But if he is not going to be practicing, then he is answerable, he is going to be questioned on the day of Qiyamah, and more severely that when you knew and when you were calling others, then why did you not practice yourself? But it is not right of that person to whom the truth is told to say that since you are not practicing, therefore you have no right to tell me and I am also not going to practice. That is very dangerous. And that is our weakness. That first thing that we do the moment somebody tells us something is we look at the person. What is he doing in his life? And if we know some weakness of his, then straight away we'll say, but you got all these weaknesses, why don't you put yourself right first? So that is not right. Nasiha mat kar nasihat dil mera ghabrave hai. Main samjhu hoon usko dushman jo mujhe samjhave hai. This is poor language in the UP area. So he says, nasiha mat kar nasihat dil mera ghabrave hai. Oh, you who is making nasihat, don't make nasihat to me because my heart gets palpitation when you make nasihat to me. And I consider the person as my dushman and enemy, the one who advises me. Now we must not be like that. We must consider the person who advises us as being our friend. Whatever his actions are, is with him. So we are discussing that وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, that the person must also be practicing. He must be doing those righteous deeds. There must be not only qaul, there must be not only words and speeches, he must also make amal on those speeches. He must also make amal first. When he's going to make amal, then there'll be barakat in his speech. After amal, then there will be barakat in his speech. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will then change hearts with those speeches. Because of the amal, the barakat of their amal. وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And what does he say? I am of the Muslims. Now there are different explanations given. One is that the person does not brag about it, that just because I made some nasihat and I gave some waaz and I gave some speech and I called towards good, and see Maulana, they were doing this type of things in that function and they were doing this in that wedding and they were doing that in the walima, and I stood up there and I said this and I said that, nothing like that. This person does not brag about his waaz and nasihat and his speech and his invitation and his call, nothing. This is minal muslimi. Just as there are ordinary Muslims, I am just one humble Muslim amongst them. That is what Allah Ta'ala wants. That no pride must come into the heart. In fact, the person must have a kind of a fear and khawf in his heart, even when he's making nasihat, that I don't know what my condition will be tomorrow. Aise waise, kaise kaise ho gaye, kaise kaise, aise waise ho gaye. How many times you have heard this? But really, it shakes my heart when I say, aise aise, kaise kaise, aise waise, kaise kaise ho gaye. And kaise, kaise, aise, waise ho gaye. How many of them are in drugs and drink and wine and women and all kinds of haram. And that youngster, suddenly Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives him hidayat. And the way he progresses, that kana mamluki fa adha maliki fa haza min ajibi zaman. That person who was a slave suddenly becomes a master. That he even leaves behind the one who was instrumental in changing that person's ideas and thoughts and actions. Sometimes we feel ashamed of ourselves when we look at those people that suddenly the progress they make. One person just made one nice nasihat to somebody, or he heard in some majlis or some program, or he went out in the jamaat, or he had some kind of good company somewhere, or some program he heard over the radio or some tape or something. Some incident brought about this dramatic change in his life, a revolution in his life. And then he even leaves behind the person that became instrumental, the person who gave that nasihat, gave that waaz. And he progresses, and the way he reaches the heights, that he says, kana mamluki fa adha maliki. So we don't know, aise waise, kaise kaise ho gaye. This is no fairy tale, there is no shortage of evidence for that. How many we know ourselves, what kind of lifestyles they had. Look at the number of letters that we get from different parts of the world, young people, the changes that are coming without even having met us, even set in our program, but just listening over the, listening on the streaming of the internet, or some tapes reach them, and look at the the changes. So therefore, we do not know what can come about, when a person can make tawbah and istighfar, when a person's life can completely transform and change, and the person becomes the mahbub of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And there are so many who were reaching very great heights, but suddenly due to pride, due to arrogance, and especially pride, when the person thinks that I'm superior now, look at my life, what greatness I have. I'm making namaz 5 times a day, I make tilawat of the Quran Sharif, I do this, I do that, when it becomes, then sometimes that pride comes. Look at all these people, what they are doing. So suddenly the person comes right down. Many times I have said that the person who falls from the first rung of the ladder, it is not that dangerous. At the most, he may just get a slight bruise. But the person who falls from the 99th step, he had 100 steps to climb. He was on the 99th one. And when he falls from there, then he's going to crack his skull, break his bones, and he'll end up in the qabristan. So the higher the person goes, the more khawf of Allah Ta'ala, the more azmat of Allah Ta'ala was coming to our hearts. And if we have said anything with regard to any nasihat we have made, any waaz we have made, any good advice we have given to anybody, if we have called towards the deen of Allah Ta'ala, if we have called towards the Quran, towards the Sunnah, then we must increase our shukr to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Oh my beloved Allah, I am grateful to you that you out of your fazl and your ihsan, you gave me the tawfiq to do the khidmat of your Mubarak deen. You were not in need of my khidmat and my service. That example I have given you, that if you go to Makkah Sharif, you will see the palace of the king just across. The walls of the palaces are rising higher now than Kaaba Sharif and everything there. But the thing is, that outside the gates of that palace, you will see the guards there. Now those guards, they know very well that this king is not in need of us here. Is the king in need of those few guards there? They know that if we make mischief, or if we have to do anything that annoys the king, he'll boot all of us out, and he can replace us with another 1,000 guards. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it is his ihsan if he's taking some khidmat of deen from us, that we are becoming instrumental in calling people towards the deen of Allah ta'ala. مجال ہے کچھ بھی کر سکوں میں جو تو نہ توفیق اے خدا دے تیری مشیت ہے سب پہ غالب یہ ہے چہے سب میرے ارادے مجال ہے کچھ بھی کر سکوں میں جو تو نہ توفیق اے خدا دے تیری مشیت ہے سب پہ غالب یہ ہے چہے سب میرے ارادے. اللہ تبارک و تعالی does not give توفیق, what can we really do? Therefore, the last part of it is innani min al-muslimin. That is one explanation, that a person considers himself as a humble servant of Allah Ta'ala and increases his shukr to be happy and pleased that Allah Ta'ala took the khidmat of deen is permissible. But don't become proud over it. And the other one is that the person, he will be faced with different situations. Now that he is calling towards Allah Ta'ala, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. And he's also make amal as-salih, he's also doing. He's calling towards Allah Ta'ala, he's doing righteous deeds. So now he'll be faced with different situations in his home, in his business, in the university, in the college, in the school, in the aeroplane, at the airport, everywhere that he is going, there will be different situations. And there somebody or the other is bound to tell him that what you are doing is wrong, or what kind of a person you are, look at your beard, and how can you dress like this? The world has progressed so much and you are still tied to the masjid and musalla. People may criticize, they may make mockery of his beard, they may tease him for keeping his pants above the ankle, they may tease him for his libas, they may tease him for making namaz, suddenly it's namaz time at the airport, and this person knows that it is my duty to make the namaz, irrespective of where I am. So now you will go to the wuzu khana, go to the shower side and make wuzu and come out, and now all passengers are passing up and down, one side is making his namaz. But of course again, we too must not become such that right in the middle of everybody there, we want to show them we are making namaz. Some of us there too, we want to show our piety. So what will happen is that in the middle of everyone will put all musallas and the azan will be loud as if we are giving a call from the Jamia Masjid of Delhi. So at that time, softly give the azan one side, put your musallas one side, we're not obstructing people's movement. And then also don't make namaz like Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Alayh at that time. At that time, make mukhtasar, make it read inna, qayna and qul huwa Allah. That is the time to read that. But then we will read Surah Baqarah to show that waliullahs are making namaz here. So people will make mockery, they will laugh, they will look at these people now, see how they're going into ruku and how they're going to sajda. But the best part is that people get attracted if we do it properly. So at that time, the person, when he's told, why don't you take interest? Why don't you do this? Why don't you take mortgage and bonds? And why don't you also follow the trends and all that? So the person says, innani minal muslimin. I am a Muslim. I can't do all these type of things. I can't engage in the same kind of partying and engagement fees and all other kind of things that you are engaging in. It's not my way of life. I'm a Muslim. Innani minal muslimin. I'm of the Muslims. Just to explain that one thing, now we can go on for hours. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of understanding this ayat, that we call towards Allah ta'ala with two righteous deeds, and we humble ourselves, and if anybody criticizes, mocks and tease and ridicules just because we are making amal on Quran and Sunnah, then we say, innani minal muslimin. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم يا رحيم يا كريم يا رحيم يا كريم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. Forgive each and every one of us. We are the most sinful servants on the surface of the earth. Indeed, my beloved Allah, we are the most sinful ones on the surface of the earth. Without your tawfiq, we cannot do anything. We are your servants, we are your slaves. My beloved Allah, most compassionate Allah, most loving Allah, most caring Allah, most tolerant Allah, most merciful Allah, forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly in the light of day or darkness of night. Forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, our tongues, our hands and feet, our heart and mind. Forgive us and forgive the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Bless the entire mankind with hidayat. Make everyone worthy of entry into Jannah. Bless everyone with Islam and Iman. Those who have become obstinate and made of their minds, they will not accept Islam and they will continue with the persecution, the torture, the tyranny, the oppression and suppression of the Ummah. Then, my beloved Allah, destroy them like you destroyed the Aad and the Samud. My Rahim, Kareem Allah, bless us all with good health, with prosperity, with contentment. Bless us with your Qurb, with your Marifat, with Yaqeen in you, with your Muhabbat and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make us all invite towards your Mubarak Deen, may Allah. Make us all call towards you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and your ahkam and laws. My beloved Allah, give us the tawfiq to do righteous deeds and righteous actions. Give us the strength and the courage, my beloved Allah, to say that we are Muslims when we are criticized for practicing upon our Islam and upon our Deen and Sharia. Bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. The best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Don't deprive us of the good things of this world and the good things of akhirah. On the day of Qiyamah, without any reckoning, cause us to cross pull sirat and enter into Jannah. Don't question us, my Allah. Don't question us. Don't test us. Don't test us, my Allah. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Whether in hospitals, clinics or homes or amongst us, bless everyone with complete shifa. My beloved Allah, those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in financial difficulties, remove the difficulties with plenty full of halal rizq. Those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Those who have returned from hajj and those who are returning, make their hajj maqbool, mabrur. My beloved Allah, Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made du'as for us. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitna that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My beloved Allah, we are living in very, very vicious environment. We are being lashed by storms of fitnas from our right and left and in front of us and behind us and pouring from the satellites above us. Hum kidhar jaye mere maula. There is no one to protect us besides you. You are well aware of the good wishes, the desires, the aspirations that are in the hearts of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you after this majlis. Ya Allah, fulfill their good wishes, good desires, aspirations. And you are well aware of the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering, the tests and the trials of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. With your fazal, with your kindness, with your ihsan, my beloved Allah, remove their suffering, their pain, their problem. When the time of our death comes, take us to Medina for you. Bless us with shahadat in Medina for you. Koi mujhse puche, main kya mangta hoon? Main apne khuda se khuda mangta hoon. Woh ho jaye mera, main ho jaun uska. Yehi raat din mein dua maanga. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ سَيِّدِنَا وَنَبِيِّنَا وَشَفِيعِنَا وَمَوْلَانَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.